Hour number two. Welcome in to Sports Saturday. Appreciate you being here. Glad to be here.
It's good to see you, bud.
Yeah.
Gang's all here, man.
We are all here. Joe Fisher III, Rashad Taylor, and Jordan Schultz. One, two. I'll be gone in 3 weeks, by the way. Going camping again.
This guy, bro.
What I'm trying to do.
Do some work, Joe.
Hey, what I'm trying to do is the week after that, I have a fantasy football trip. I am trying to work with Dusty so that way I can take the equipment to do a remote broadcast so that way I can join you guys live from Mount Hood Oregon Resort is where we'll be staying at.
You know, I won my fantasy league last year, so I think ours will be somewhere that's not – we won't need to do a remote show. Don't worry for mine. But I will be dressing up like Ric Flair and bringing my World Heavyweight Championship with me.
Can you go whiteface?
You know, I think it's acceptable. I think it's acceptable. If Drewski can do it, then I think I'm a little
– Drewski.
I think I'll be okay. I don't think it's problematic at all.
I feel like you all should get one.
Just
life.
A mulligan, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Go ahead and
one.
I didn't know I couldn't do that.
One white face.
That's
pass.
Wrong.
Yeah.
What?
I'll actually be on next weekend. It's my anniversary, so.
Oh, look at you!
I don't think I'd be here for that. Yeah, that'd be dumb.
I love that. Any big plans?
Yeah, we're going to Bend.
Boning.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
and that
what?
Boning in Bend?
Yeah.
Is that a
bone in? I meant bone in.
Bone
like
in
like ribeye?
Yeah.
A ribeye.
Yeah, like it's a restaurant. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
bone in Bend. Yeah.
That should be a thing.
What, bone in ribeye?
Bone in Ben, yeah.
Bone in
yeah.
Ben.
Seriously, yeah. We just came up with a new recipe.
It's a bone in breakfast.
How about that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right. I hope that we can get to this maybe around like 10:30-ish. Bryson DeChambeau, the doucher, pulled possibly his douchiest moment of all time last night. At the Open.
That's saying a lot, man.
That is saying a lot. And it's pretty well known, my feelings on Rory McIlroy at this station.
Arch enemy.
Boy, that guy, he gained some points because he said some things in his press conference about Bryson DeChambeau that I think that everybody could agree with. Again, when it's like, you know, it's that South Park episode, choose between the turd sandwich or the giant douche, you know, it's like, which one are you going to take? Like, I'm voting for turd sandwich on this one, Rory McIlroy, because the giant doucher is being a giant doucher out there. So I think Jordan and our crack production team is efforting to get that audio because I want to listen to the whole thing. I heard a clip and I want to hear it in its entirety. We also got NBA transactions that have happened over the last few days. Maybe get to some World Cup stuff at the end of the show. We got the final tomorrow between Spain and Argentina. But the biggest move so far that we have had in the NBA offseason, it's the Giannis move. Giannis going to Miami.
Well, you know what? I would push back a little bit on that.
Oh, I would say actually maybe it's the Gary Trent 4-year, $64 million
contract
that is being investigated by the NBA because of cap circumvention,
yeah,
possibly.
It's like, wait a minute, man. How's this happening?
How did Gary Trent get that deal when he averaged 8 points and like an assist last year?
Yeah, definitely the biggest, I would say probably the most expected trade was
Giannis.
The Giannis one. Yeah. But, you know, the one to Philly was definitely the one that was like, what? What?
See, isn't that so? This conversation, and I brought you up and mentioned this to multiple people about this trade because I can't remember who exactly I was talking to about it, but it was about like Paul George and talking about like player value and what fans perceive as a valuable player versus what front offices and the training,
analytics,
the coaches,
and everything
like that. Like, it's two different perceptions, and I feel like the fan perception of Jaylen Brown, completely different than the front office perception. And the same thing for Paul George, whereas the fan perception of Paul George at this point, a majority is like, what? He's cooked. He can't play anymore. You, and there's plenty of other people like Brandon Ingram, Brandon Miller was one of them, Carmelo's kid, and you informed me of this. Paul George is like the GOAT to some of these guys.
Yeah, if you're
like
in high school and college, or just kind
of some of these like hoopers and guys that are in the league grew up watching Paul George, and like he is one of their idols to him. And so when I saw this move, people are like, "What, Jaylen Brown for Paul George and a couple firsts?" I'm like, "Dude, I think Jaylen Brown." That whole discussion around his value, I think that is a legitimate thing in the league where he is a not a net negative, but does not provide as much value as the fans think he does and Paul George does. Whereas he does provide a lot of value where the fans are like, Paul George, he sucks. He's 35. But culturally, like I said,
amongst the kids and amongst everybody
but
else,
I think that trickles into the basketball community of coaches, front office, trainers,
sure.
scouts, all those guys. Like, they're all in the same circle.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, you know, so like when you hear Brandon Miller and Carmelo's kid and dudes who are really good hoopers saying that, oh, I didn't watch blah, blah, blah growing up. I watched Paul George. Like, his game, I could emulate that. More. He's my GOAT, is what mm-hmm. some of these guys
yeah,
said.
That's what the bottom said.
I felt like that trade was like, should have showed to the fans that the value of these, like the true value of these players, that Paul George's value is a lot higher according to these coaches' front offices, and Jaylen Brown's value is a lot lower than we think it is.
Paul George is also a Nike guy, right? He's also a guy that has his own kicks. You know, he's. For all the crap that he's been through and for all the injuries over the last few years, man, Paul George is still one of them ones, especially in the eyes of, like, young basketball players and young basketball fans. And it is kind of weird because when you talk about value, right, Jaylen Brown is one of the best two-way guys in the NBA. I mean, we can't really say the same thing about Jason Tatum. I don't think he's a terrible defender, but he's not a good defender as Jaylen Brown. And you're talking about...
Yeah,
Kobe, we did it. And you're talking about a guy in Jaylen Brown who was, and I keep forgetting now that there is a conference finals MVP, right? So he was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, won you that series, and then was the actual NBA Finals MVP. I'm still trying to really figure out what exactly Jaylen Brown did wrong. For that 1 year in Boston, he really carried that team that was supposed to be a bottom feeder without Jason Tatum, and he still took them to the playoffs. Yes, they lost in the first round against Philly. They weren't ready. But I think it's him saying that he was proud of his performance in a year without Jason Tatum. And he wasn't wrong in that. Like, this year, I was supposed to be the number two. I had more points than I've ever had, more assists than I've ever had, more this. We still made the playoffs. We were supposed to be dead in the water, and yet and still, like – I can't be proud of my performance. I can't be proud of my team. Like, what was he supposed to say? Yeah, this year was sucked because Jason Tatum wasn't there. It's like, yeah, you didn't win the championship or you didn't even win in the playoffs. But I think it's criminal to kind of say that he isn't as valuable. And I think that's one of those things when you heard that old quote, and I hope I'm saying it right, was you're standing too close to the trees to see the forest.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of one of those things with Jaylen Brown is like, you don't really see what you have in a guy like Jaylen Brown. I think now that he's going to be playing against you four times a year in Boston, that team in Philadelphia is insane.
It's going to be fun.
You know what I mean? And so,
as long as they're healthy.
Like, they're good. And even if they're not healthy, even if Embiid is out, you still got Maxey, you still got Edgecombe, you just got Jaylen Brown. That's a murder's row right there as far as, like, a starting lineup. But, no, I'm still struggling to see what exactly Jaylen Brown did wrong. And I think he's really trying to figure out, like, what exactly did I do over here? And I just won a championship 2 years ago.
I just feel like and I have no problem him being like, dude, I had a great year this year and it was one of my favorite seasons because I got to run the team and be that guy and got us to the playoffs. I just think it was kind of a short-sighted comment after what happened in the playoffs.
Sure.
He was the guy, but like, he wasn't amazing in that first round. I felt like he did force some things, and you did blow a 3-1
He did blow a 3-1 series.
Not, you know, to be fair, not him, the
no,
team.
Yeah.
But again, it's
but
just like,
you were the superstar, and we don't really give that to Jason Tatum,
and
right?
To say after a month after that happens to be like, boy, that was my favorite season is, I told you in the moment, I was like, I don't like that, dude. I was like, to me, it's just like, dude, you just lost to the Sixers after being up 3-1. That's like KD-esque,
yeah.
Like being like, you know, losing 3-1 or being up 3-1, losing the series, and then being like, man, that was a lot of fun.
But
I'm out.
Like, I understood what he was saying, though. It's like, man, my teammates, you know, Peyton Pritchard had an amazing year. You know, what's the bald guy's name?
Derek White.
Right. Derek White had an amazing year. You had guys come off your bench that, you know, played really well for you. People that hadn't played in a long time or played consistent minutes were able to step up and give you big minutes. So, yeah, you're talking about maturation of an entire team. Yeah, I think that's something to be celebrated, especially when everybody picks you to finish as one of the worst teams in the East, and you finish as one of the best teams in the East. Like, that's, yeah, this is one of my favorite seasons. So I understand.
I don't know that they were projected to be one of the worst teams.
People projected them to be.
We looked it up.
What, 7, 8, 9?
We looked it up. Their win total, it was like 46, 47 and a half or something like that. It wasn't, they were meant to be terrible. They were not projected to be that good.
That's playing, right? So yeah. Like 7, 8, 9, you know, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Around there.
So still projected to be 7, 8, 9. You finished third?
Second.
Yeah, come on.
And they got eliminated in the first round.
That's cool, but yeah.
By Paul George.
Second. Jason Tatum was on the floor, too. It wasn't just, I mean, I think people kind of make it Jaylen Brown. It wasn't Jaylen Brown. It was Jason Tatum was on the floor, too, and it didn't quite work out for either of them.
But this will be intriguing.
He's the scapegoat, and he has been for a long time.
This will be intriguing to watch and see if this either, you know, works out for Philly or blows up in epic fashion. We are also waiting on one more transaction to happen in the NBA, as is Adam Silver. And man, like everybody,
he's rubbing his nips over there. Loving all the attention.
Take a quick break and jump into the decision. What is this? 3.0?
Is it four?
Four? Wait,
five at this point.
So we had the decision to Miami,
then back to Cleveland two.
And then, yeah, decision
three,
four.
Yeah.
Lakers. Jeez, four.
Decision part four. Electric Boogaloo coming up. And then do we have that audio? That Rory audio?
Oh, we have it, baby.
That's coming up at 10:30, and then we'll end the show with some World Cup stuff. But next, we get into LeBron James and his swan song. Where will he play next? Fan Sports Network, Sports Saturday. Does this sound familiar?
It's hold music, right?
Some of the best hold music of all time.
Yeah, I'll take it.
This threw her shot off when you were gone. I knew exactly what it was.
I know it now. I was like, man, here's the thing. I don't wait on hold that long.
It's like we've all heard this before.
You might get maybe a minute and a half out of me before I'm like, okay, moving on.
Dude, I remember one time calling, I think it was the post office or something. Their hold music, it wasn't this. It wasn't Opus Number 1, by the way, is what this is called. Whoever was producing the music for the post office hold, they could have kept me on hold all day long. It was absolute
bangers, huh?
Bangers on the post office hold music. Couldn't believe it. I'm like, dude, I was waiting to hear like a production tag at some point in there.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Takey, F them up.
No, I mean, usually it's great when you get like a nice little instrumental, right? And you're just kind of something to vibe to for a little bit. Yep. But yeah.
So we are currently waiting on hold for LeBron's decision. Dude,
just the way he likes.
I am so good. Do you just see how that transition right there?
I did. You're elite.
Damn, dude.
One of one.
God. Yeah, we're currently on hold waiting for LeBron's decision, as is the rest of the league. I thought it was actually pretty funny how Adam Silver's like, we're kind of waiting on, I kind of need him to make a decision because we need to make the schedule. Like, he is literally going to dictate like 75% of the national schedule.
Yes. Yes, he is. And I think that's exactly what the plan was. He knew nobody really wanted him like that. And so he's going to do his best to kind of make sure he prolongs this decision, quote unquote, for as long as he can.
So what are the current odds right now? I got to imagine that Cleveland has got to have the best odds. I mean, that's just me guessing. I have no idea. Looking at the updated odds, this is who is this? Underdog NBA, one of the gambling sites.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah. They say that currently the odds for LeBron's next team, Heat 35%, Cavs 29%, Warriors 17%, 76ers 12%, Portland Trailblazers 1%. No, Sixers actually have 13%, and Blazers are not on here. Unless you ask a professional pickleball player. Did you hear about this, Rashad?
I did. I did.
Who knew the pickleball league
connected.
Was going to be? Yeah, exactly. We don't need a Shams bomb. We need a pickleball league bomb. There's some chick in the pickleball league that reference, like, I don't know. I know the owner of the pickleball league, Tom Dundon. He owns a new team, and apparently he wants LeBron. So he's trying to get LeBron to Portland, apparently, which, God bless Tom Dundon's little heart, if he's trying to do that.
It's adorbs, right?
It's so cute. I say, LeBron, do the right thing. Don't go to Cleveland.
Yeah, like, I don't know why we're trying to, like...
Don't go to Miami.
Trash.
Don't do that again. That,
and,
stop.
You know, I'm going to say this, too.
76ers, that is a hard no.
That's a hard no.
Let me spend my last year with Joel Embiid, who possibly might not play like 60% of the games. Jaylen Brown, who is now going to try and prove even more so that last year was not a fluke, while also bringing along a young, scrappy guard and Edgecombe. And Tyrese Maxey, to me, is not a concern. I mean, that guy seems...
He's going to be cold wherever
he's,
he goes.
He's cold.
He's good. Yeah. So. No. That's the LeBron makeup, though. If there are any teams that would be set up for him, it would be a team like Philly, right? You've got another couple of superstars and young point guard. Like, yeah, I think that would be the team that LeBron is most looking like. Man, I can get number five there. Playing in the East, I think he's seen most of LeBron's career outside of, you know, L.A. He's spent in the Eastern Conference. He's dominated the Eastern Conference, you know, for his entire career. And then he went out West and found out, man, holy hell, this is really tough. Like, I cannot get out of the West. You're talking Denver. You're talking Minnesota. Just think about the teams he's been eliminated by over the past few years in the playoffs. He's the Timberwolves, not better than them. The Warriors, not better than them. The Nuggets, you know. So he's pretty much been put out by all the teams in the West that were kind of up and coming, with the exception of the Warriors. I think a team that's set up ready-made like Philadelphia would be exactly what he would do. The obvious answer to me, Joe, like you, is going back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, you're in your career there. You play with Donovan Mitchell, who just signed an extension.
Evan Mobley, Jared Allen.
You have Evan Mobley. You'll have Jared Allen, so you have some bigs there, so you won't have to do that.
I'm guessing that James Harden will figure something out contractually to go back to Cleveland, if that is the case as well.
James Harden's still one of the better point guards in the league, if you're just looking at his numbers as a ball handler and everything. So, yeah, I think Cleveland would provide the best opportunity for him to kind of ride out into the sunset and potentially get a ring. And then also, I like him going to Cleveland because it does a few things. Number one, it gets James Harden that much needed ring. That's the only thing James Harden needs for his career, is a championship ring to kind of solidify that this whole 17 years he's been in the league wasn't all for nothing. A championship ring for Donovan Mitchell, who I think a lot of us believe has been quietly one of the best 15 to 20 players in the NBA over the past 10 years, but still hasn't been able to get that championship.
He takes a step every year, seemingly.
Every year, because remember, for a long time, he's like, man, he can't get out of the first round. Can't get out of the first round. He's never been out of the first round. Then he got out of the second round. Then he finally got to the conference championship. So maybe with the LeBron, that's that final year that he needs to get to the championship and actually win. So I think it makes the most sense for him to go back to Cleveland. But it's LeBron James, so he'll probably, I don't know,
Go to the Warriors and do something annoying.
I see like at the Warriors or something like that.
If he goes to the Warriors, I swear to God, that's one of the more bitch moves if he goes to the Warriors.
I mean, if you live, so it'd be, I'm cool with it. It's a bunch of old dudes that can't guard anybody. Cool. Seriously, Jimmy Butler, you hope he's back by time LeBron is on the floor for them. Draymond is not the defender that he used to be. You don't have that type of shooting anymore. Go for it. If you want to be a 7 seed in the West, go for it.
I'm going to take a quick break and get to some golf, some British Open. Scottie Scheffler, and I'm not even kidding you, just pulled a Joe Fisher and missed like a 3-foot putt for par.
Ugh.
Like literally just sailed it, Scottie, right to the right of it. Dear God, man.
You can do this, Scottie.
Scottie!
It's only Saturday.
Scottith! Come on! That was rough to watch. I'm going to see that probably a couple times myself today. See me do it. Let's get into the Open because we got some audio to play. Bryson DeChambeau has seemingly one-upped himself in pulling one of the douchier things he's ever done. And Rory McIlroy, he had some choice words about last night's situation at the Open where Bryson was assessed a 2-stroke penalty for giving himself a better look lie backswing by stepping over a bush, stamping down some tall grass fescue. We're going to play that audio next of Rory because he has definitely gained some points with me based off of what he said. We do that next here. Sports Saturday, Fan Sports Network. But first, Jordan Schultz with a sports snort. Shout out to Pineapple Ed. out there at Glendevere?
No, it's just some light, some Gucci. You know what I mean? Gucci hat, Gucci socks.
Some light Gucci.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that something? Do they say light Gucci?
I don't think they say light Gucci.
I got the Gucci on me.
No, I don't think they say that. I wouldn't say that to anybody.
You like my Gucci?
Sure, let's see it.
Whoa! what's going on? Oh, U.S. Open. No, British Open. The Open, I should say. Is it just going to turn in? So first it was the British Open Championship. Then it turned into the British Open. And then it turned into the Open Championship. And now it's just the Open. So then next year it's just going to be the.
The golf.
The. Welcome to the.
Welcome to the. What? Yeah, that's it.
It's going to be very confusing for folks. Welcome to the. A great tournament at the. And also right now on the Open is Bryson DeChambeau on hole number 14, hitting his approach shot.
People boo and hiss when he comes up.
Well, he is the center of controversy at the Open because last night on, I believe it was hole number 5, he was brought back to the rolls to the hole because on that hole he went a little wayward, got away from him. I believe it was either his second or third shot. He ended up in some tall fescue. It was a mess. He was in some crap. And when he is shown by the people, like, hey, here is your ball right here among all this tall grass, he walks and approaches the ball and takes a unnecessary sidestep and angles his foot in a way that essentially stamps down the fescue in the tall grass right behind his ball and right behind his shot. So what he's doing is improving his lie, is improving the conditions around him purposely so that way he can give himself an easier shot, easier angle, easier back and downswing, blah, blah, blah. Rules officials brought him back to the hole, told him this, was assessed a 2-shot penalty, and the camera during this whole thing of the rules officials explaining to him, it is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Bryson, demonstrative, waving his arms around. You know, you can see him at one point, I think, wording, I'm not going to play tomorrow, is, I believe, one of the statements that he said. Just throwing an absolute hissy fit, acting like a complete bitch. And Rory McIlroy, the face of golf, was asked about this situation. And I believe this is about like 2 minutes, so it's a little bit longer of audio. Correct, Jordan? So it is, I believe, the question about the situation, Rory's answer, follow-up question, and Rory's thoughts on Bryson DeChambeau, and that is where the real juice is in this. So take a listen.
So I was watching it live. I was up in the players' lounge watching it with a few other players, and as soon as he made the step into the ball, we all sort of looked at each other and were like, that didn't seem right. And then when I heard that he was, you know, he was called in by the rules officials, I think it was pretty obvious for why. I think, you know, I think there's no doubt that he improved the line of his backswing. So, you know, and again, it's like, whether it was careless or whether it was intentional, I don't think it matters. Hopefully it was careless. But I think the 2-shot penalty was justified for sure.
What do you think of the scenes after? Obviously, you guys were delayed getting your tee times as well because of it all going on.
Late night for everyone. I won't pretend to be up here and defend Bryson. I'm not particularly fond of him. I think a lot of it's performative. I think a lot of it's for attention. And yeah, you know, to hold the tournament hostage like that and,
go ahead and cook.
Have all of us, volunteers, players, everyone waiting on him to depart, I didn't feel like it was a great look.
Do you think he knew what he was doing?
Look, he's going to say, like, again, I'm not in his mind, I'm not in his, it, but it didn't look good.
Boy, is something like that, you think that happens out here more than we know, and it just isn't viewed or seen? Or
yeah, it's hard, right? Like, he's every shot is on camera. There's a lot of guys that play this week and the shots aren't on camera, so you can say that that's unfair or whatever, or it might happen more than it does, but I just, it's it's obviously impossible to police everyone, and that's why it is a, you know, for the most part, a self-policing game. But I think when there is obvious evidence like there was last night, then obviously that's a different story.
Go ahead and cook, Roy.
For real, dude. That was...
Yeah, not a golf clap. You get a full, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said what everybody... And he probably, you know, held back a little bit. He probably did not share his full opinions.
No, he that was a very, very media...
but just to say... like
media-driven answer.
I'm not very fond of him. I think it's all performative. I think it's all for show, basically. Like, just calling someone out.
Which I
think
I love.
I think it's for attention. It's just like...
Which I love. How many athletes... actually come out and say, yeah, I just don't like dude.
Well, and now
I'm not a fan of him.
Well, we have seen this now, at least with two well-known golfers in Brooks Koepka and Rory both coming out. And I mean, I don't know if Brooks has it on record somewhere saying that he doesn't like Bryson, but with their feud a couple years ago, you can tell that Brooks does not like Bryson. And then this whole thing with Rory saying, yeah, I'm not fond with him. I think it's all performative and he's doing it for attention. It's just like, dude,
like
they all hate this guy.
Bryson DeChambeau is the quintessential golf douche.
Yes.
Like we've talked about that before. We talked about what golf douche.
He cares
kind
more about
of looks
YouTube
like.
At this point.
And the cool part is the YouTube thing actually kind of helped him a little bit, because prior to that, like, he was really a doucher and nobody really liked him. At least the YouTube thing kind of helped him be a little more likable.
And then it went right
and
back
then,
the
like,
other way.
And I just had to, just as we're sitting here, I just had to look up just like, and I typed in douchiest things that Bryson DeChambeau has done. And it's like, man, so just this incident at the Open, the fire, remember the fire ant incident?
Oh, yeah, there's fire ants.
Yeah.
I use that one on the golf course to this day still time. I'm like, I think there's some fire ants over here.
Always blaming the manufacturers of the equipment that has and stuff like that.
I got to 3D print my own clubs.
Yeah. The rope thing. Remember when he would try to go under the rope and hit himself in the face? And then, like, come on, man. Like, this dude is just... he's not a great guy. And golf isn't it's a very professional sport, right? Nobody's actually going to put hands on anybody. I do wish somebody would just one time, just in the,
bing!
You know what I'm saying? Give him the good old Tyler Hero.
Give you a quick little bop, a little how's your mother?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he is right now spread legged, 1 foot in bunker, one foot on the grass. And he's taking forever to try and figure out how to. It's
flustered.
He has a very awkward bunker shot, and he is.
Bryson DeChambeau seems like the type of guy that tells everybody, hey, what's that over there? And then picks up the ball and throws it. Man, great shot. It's probably my best one of the day.
Gosh. I love golfer beef. Golfer beef is fun. Just it's petty because, it's such a buttoned up, formal, classy sport.
It's a bunch of rich kids basically trying to insult each other. And then when one gets really mad, well, I just won't play. They act five.
Yeah. Do you think Rory or Bryson has ever been in a fight in their life?
No. Oh, you can tell. People that have been in a fight have a certain way of talking to people or not talking to people. Mm-hmm. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's,
you know, I'm like,
exactly.
you don't say certain things because you understand.
Oh, and he sailed it.
Oh, great.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's still going.
Jesus.
Oh, is it coming back?
Where's it going? It's like the Happy Gilmore putt. My God. Yeah, dude, it's like, golf fights are hilarious. I love golf, and I love it when they're petty like this. But when it comes down to it, it's a bunch of rich white dudes just calling each other out. Dude, F you, bro.
Yeah, you're not going to do anything. Yep. You know. So, it's
Hold me back, bro.
I would like to see, like, instead of like a live tournament, like, I would love to see a couple 2-minute, 3-round fights with some golfers. That would be fun.
That would be celebrity deathmatch.
I would do that, yeah.
All right. Take a quick break, wrap things up, do a little bit of, a thesis on the World Cup for our last segment. We only have one, technically two games left. Is the third place game going down right now? Is that, I know that was today. I don't know if it was happening. They do a third place game, by the way. I don't know if they
I did not know that, actually. That's crazy.
Yeah, the third place game. But tomorrow is the final. Wrap things up with some World Cup talk next. Fan Sports Network, Sports Saturday. All right.
Hot soul playing talk.
Yeah, that's right. Just reminiscing on Drake in his early days as Scheffler misses another putt. Come on, Scotty. Damn it, dude. Anyways, World Cup finishes up tomorrow, man. It's been awesome. It has really been a summer experience, like a time,
100%,
a moment that I will never forget. Really, this was a, as it wraps up tomorrow, this has truly been one of the most unique sporting moments of my life, because it did not encapsulate one day or one game. It encapsulated a month and a half of games and cultures and people and cities and countries and everybody coming together. It was just, it's the most unique thing I have ever seen in sports. And I'm sure soccer fans are like, hey, Joe, welcome to the party. But it being here, I think, is what being able to experience, not just go to the game like I did, but the fervor, the love, the passion, the excitement for these games, and being able to watch them in the middle of the day, the work day.
Yes.
I mean, didn't help with the productivity sometimes, but that was awesome. Like, just being able to watch games during group play from morning to the end of the day, being able to pop on a random game, Algeria versus Jordan, it starts at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. And it's like, all right, I guess I'm staying up till 11 to watch this random two teams play, and I'm going to love every second of it. And it's going to capture it. Like, and I can't look away. And it's been awesome. And it's one of those like sad moments where it's bittersweet. Yeah, it's over tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last game. Spain, Argentina, Messi in his last run. And Argentina's run has been absolutely insane over the last few weeks, just escaping by the skin of their teeth the last few games. And then going up against Spain, who is just a powerhouse team. But really, just everything I've experienced from the watch parties at Goal PDX that that we had multiple times out there, to going to the game, to meeting up with the lads to have a pint down at the bar and watch the games. Like, this was, and my son's soccer coach said, he's like, I am intrigued to see what soccer looks like in this country going forward. Not from the USA men's team perspective. He's just talking about the more people caring, investing, watching, having their kids spending play soccer, time. Spending more time watching
how
the game.
How the youth leagues respond. Yeah. It's
just the culture, outside of the U.S. men's team, which they pulled the most U.S. men's team move of all time of getting everybody all excited to only crap down their leg and lose 4-1 to a actual team. Beyond that, just if, and this is how it is in cities, regardless of what sport it is, you got to build the culture all the way from the youth level up, and you got to make it what but honestly, this is where I think that the U.S. is just going to screw themselves for the rest of time, is making it more accessible. Because what do we love in this country? We love money.
We love it. It's our favorite.
We love getting people to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for camps, coaches, clinics, and to get access to things. Whereas European countries, aren't like kids getting paid to be in some of these clubs? Like,
a lot of them,
they
get
recruited, and I mean, and a lot of these clubs are just free, and it's just like, again, it's, to me, it's a numbers game. Get as many people involved as possible, and then you are going to get a bigger pool of people to select from, and then you are going to have more talent available to you.
Yeah, I think you just really have to, much like we did with basketball, you really have to take the time and try to cultivate the sport for youth. And I think we do a great job of getting kids involved in soccer when they're much younger.
I will say this, is that I feel like that culture has shifted much more than when I was a kid.
Oh,
I feel
100%.
Like soccer is very mainstream now, even before this World Cup.
It used to be a means to an end, right? Yeah. It used to be you play soccer to get better footwork for football or basketball. Mm-hmm. That's what it used to be. Now, much like your son, you're seeing students that are paying much more attention to the club level and really kind of trying to perfect their craft on that level so they can go to Major League Soccer. As much as I want to crap on it, it's still a big thing. And you still have a lot of young soccer fans that look at the Timbers and look at the Sounders, look at all these different teams and like, yes, that's something that's attainable for me. I can play professionally here and stuff like that. So, yeah, soccer scholarships do still exist. And they are still giving them away to students, you know, in abundance. And so I do think if we really start treating soccer just like it's a stepping stone towards another sport, yeah, I think we will start seeing a lot more kids. And especially, I saw Kevin, I can't remember his name. He was one of the broadcasters on ESPN. I can't remember, black dude. I can't remember his name all the way. Please forgive me. But he was talking about his son playing soccer, and he plays in like Beverly Hills. So he doesn't play with a Latino kid. He doesn't play with another black kid. So he was like, man, like, how do you know you're even playing against great competition? And so he said he took him to, you know, South Central. He took him to L.A., took him to play with a lot of Latino kids and found out how far behind that he actually was. Because we play in these little silos, right? We play out in Beaverton or out all these other places. Man, we don't really get around these kids that soccer is life. And so,
bro, I'm telling you, like, you know, I know how much it costs for our club. For my son to play. It's not. I understand it. It's a fair price.
It's not basketball, right?
But there are some clubs around the city that I looked up how much it costs.
It's not.
It's insane. Traveling teams, it's insane.
Unreal. That's just in soccer. It's in every sport. Yeah. And so that, again, that's where our culture needs to change a bit, is open it up to everybody, because we got a lot of talented soccer players in this country that we need to encourage and give the best opportunities to.
Well, so. MLS is definitely growing. When it started, or at least when the Timbers entered the league, I think the minimum salary was like $36,000 a year for players on the team. Again. Now, the lowest designation, you're making like $85,000. Is that, you know, that's what normal people make. It's not, it's a
great
huge
money.
Sport, but it's growing.
That's great money.
Well, I'm intrigued to see, again, what this last month and a half of the World Cup in North America does for just the soccer culture over the next 5 to 10 years. See what happens. It's very intriguing to me. So, and after I play golf, I'm going to go catch some soccer tonight, 6:20, with my son. That is my agenda. I hope you all have a great rest of your Saturday. I'm just glad to be back, man.
Glad to see you, bro.
Yes, glad to be back. Jordan Schultz, thank you as always, sir.
Yeah, love you guys. Love you all.
Rashad Taylor, thank you as always, sir.
What a time, my Danny.
And everybody out there that listened on this Saturday, appreciate you so much. We will catch you next week again, Sports Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on the Fan Sports Network. Peace.